Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Russ Emmett. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, and it's the 21st of, 22nd of March. I'm all on top of it, 2024. Today we're reading from the big book. We're in Phil's story, page 10, that fourth paragraph. And we're just reading that paragraph, starting with ministers in the world's religions, and we're ending with my mind snapshot against such a theory. All right, our readers today. So we have Julie G. for the steps, Tenzin P. for the traditions, starting us off with the text is Judith S. P. Reading one page 164, Susan S. H. Our backup reader is Anne-Marie M. Newcomer greeters Krista F. Second hour host is Colleen M. And Kathy S. is going to take care of announcements today. All right. So our reference numbers, I only have the reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting. I haven't gotten it at 7 a.m. for yesterday. So that's Thursday, March 21st, 2024. The 10 a.m. meeting is 21,246, 21246. Once we get to 7 a.m., I'll hook you up. We'll get it to you. All right, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is the fellowship of individuals who shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. Well, we welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps and 12 traditions, 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. And a vision for you, big book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. So I'll ask Julie G. to take care of the steps for us today, read the 12 steps of OA.
Thank you, Rush, for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Julie G. I'm recovered in Pennsylvania. Here are the 12 steps. One. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
All right, thanks, Julie. Next up is Tenzin P. with the traditions.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Our beautiful 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop compulsive eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the direction for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today we resume our study in Bill's story. We're on page 10, and we're reading that fourth paragraph with ministers and the world religions, and then we're ending that paragraph with my mind snapped against such a theory. And Judith S.P. is going to take care of this reading for us to start us off.
Good morning, Russ, and good morning, my fellows. This is Judith S.P. in Maryland, as always, gratefully recovered through God's grace. With ministers and the world's religions, I parted right there. When they talked of a God personal to me who was love, superhuman strength, and direction, I became irritated, and my mind snapped shut against such a theory. There is a great deal of resistance and ego in these few sentences that I just read. Religion, to me, has always been a mystery. I grew up in a culture that had a religious overtone, but going to the synagogue and experiencing different things, quote-unquote, religiously came in another language, and I never understood that language. So I always sat there with confusion and boredom, and that taste really never left me, that this isn't something for me. And I just parted ways early on with religion. However, underneath the religion was an energy and a belief and a spirit that I know I've always had, which is my divine, thank you, God, connection to a power greater than myself, which gave me comfort and security, even when I didn't know that I needed or was longing for that. when other people would talk to me about their religions or their beliefs, it kind of brought chills to me. I couldn't understand it. I had difficulty walking into churches and understanding all the rituals that went along with religion. But as I hear myself talk right now, I hear all my pre-recovery negativity and coming to conclusions about things and closing my mind and heart to so many opportunities that may have been God's way of saying, hey, Judith, look at this or come here. But I didn't want to do it. The ego, my negativity, and what happened. I was always irritated, more than irritated. I was always depressed, unhappy, blaming the world, and not having any clue what the heck my purpose in this life was. I could not see very many gratitudes unless they were self-centered. My mind snapped shut against such a theory. I closed my mind. People would make suggestions. Opportunities, doors would open to me, and I would walk away. And, you know, I realize now as an older person, my goodness, what would it have been like if? But I can't go back into the past. I know that I have a spiritual connection with God, my higher power. And as each moment I walk with my BFF, who gives me the strength and the ability to serve others through service to God, I am exactly where I need to be. And I know, as Bill was tortured, that he is on his way to coming to a God of his understanding. So with that, I pass, and thank you for letting me share.
All right, Judith, thank you so much for starting us off. Now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon. And as you know, we value everybody's experience, but we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you shared Wednesday or Thursday on the meetings, please step back while others get a chance to share. And let's open it up. Who would like to share on this?
Alex B.
I think it was Alex.
Alex B. Jesus.
Yeah, I like
it. Shanna B.
Shanna. I don't know that person. Who else?
Vasa O.
Olivia.
Vasa. I just missed. Okay, there was, I think, Olivia.
Correct. Yeah, Olivia K. Thank you.
Olivia, okay. And then some. Cheryl, was it Cheryl?
Cheryl L.
Got it.
Lisa C.
Lisa C. Jack W. Jack, my man.
Morning.
Good morning. Who else? We could take two more. Well, we can't. Oh, great. This is a great list. Alec B., Shanna C., Vasa O., Olivia K., Cheryl L., Lisa C., and Jack W. All right, Alec, you're up, buddy.
Hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. It is great to be back. I've been off the line for about 2 weeks now. Because I was working and I had to sort of recover some energy and sleep in after a trip. And it is just good. It's good that we are here together. It is good that God has called us through this disease, to a community of healing and to a community of accompaniment. You know, I it's kind of funny. I identify in with this paragraph or this sentence, but in a different way. I mean, I came into this program with a religion, with a spiritual practice that really gives me life and is really important to me. And so my prejudice with the other way was about step one. Am I really powerless over this? I mean, no. Is my life really ungovernable? No. And then questioning, could I live my faith in the steps? And for a while, I doubted that. I went back and forth. I had a lot of pride I had to deal with. And the disease just won out and showed me, yes, you are without power over this. You are impotent over this. And, yes, you can live your faith out in these traditions and in these steps, and that the God of my understanding has helped me to recognize my need to really surrender and to be like every other person on this line, to make the phone calls, to show up to the meetings, to do the inventories, to pray, not only the way I was praying before, but to pray in the way the book lays out of opening myself before God every day, saying, God, where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to help today? Because my God, who knows me and who loves me, knows that this disease is part of my story, and that this recovery is part of my story too. And I gotta say, not being on this meeting for the first time in a long time, for 2 weeks, it was hard. It was harder for me without hearing these messages every day. It was harder for me to live these principles day by day because I wasn't plugging in here. And because I wasn't plugging in here, I let myself get a little more loose with 10th step and these other things. And so I'm so glad to be back. And it was just such a, when I was praying this morning before this meeting, it was this clear reminder from my God to say, get back on the line and be present and recognize your need to surrender every single day. Because yes, there is recovery, but every day is another day to choose to be healed and to be free by surrendering to this program, by surrendering to each of you in love, and especially to surrendering to God. And so thank you for being here, because I know now that I'm going to have an easier time living this program because I'm starting my day on this line in this community of support. And so thank you for your help. Alec B. from St. Louis, Missouri. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Al. Next up is Shanna C., followed by Vaso.
Good morning, Russ. This is Shanna C., recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thanks so much for your service, and thanks, Judith, for the reading, and Alex, and all everybody that gets together and makes this thing happen and creates a place for those of us to come to find a solution to our problems and stay out of the food. And it is, like I said, it's a miracle for my life that I'm abstinent today. And, you know, and I look at this paragraph, and it's, you know, when they talked of a God personal to me, who was his love, superhuman strength and direction, I became irritated. My mind snapped shut against such a theory. I'd like to think that I had power to choose those thoughts at that time, when I would hear people talking about the God of their understanding and how he helps them and how this God was so good. I wanted to believe that so badly, you know, when I was first introduced to you know, God and this and that. But it was just, Bill describes it perfectly. My mind would snap shut. I wanted to believe, but I just absolutely couldn't. And when I would pray, I think I would pray with the expectation that God was going to, I don't know what I was expecting. I just knew I didn't get what I wanted most of the time when I would pray. And it was like, okay, well, God doesn't exist. Well, he answers their prayers. Mine don't go above my nose, apparently, and I'm not good enough. That's where my mind, left to my own devices, takes me, is God doesn't care. God doesn't hear me. No one really cares. I'm all alone, blah, blah, blah. And living that way is my MO, apart from this way of life, which is the 12 steps, which show me how to connect with God, the God of my understanding. And, so grateful that I don't have to live in that darkness. And so grateful that, like for me with step two was, you know, am I even willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself that can solve my problem? And what it came down to is, you know what, I'm going to take your word for it. You people who are not eating and are happy, I think I'll just take your word for it that you believe. That's where I started. And, okay, I'm willing to believe that these actions you're telling me to take may work. That's how limited my faith was. But, you know, it seemed to be working. And it works every day, provided I take the action every day. Anyway, so before I start rambling, I'm going to jump off, and I hope everyone has a great weekend. I'm headed to Las Vegas for the weekend. Extra prayers if you think about me. It's pretty awesome that I get to do this stuff with Neutrality. All right. Love you guys. Take care.
Thanks, Shanna. Next up is Vasa, followed by Olivia Kay.
Yes. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa, grateful. Recovered compulsive overeater calling from Port Charlotte, Florida. And I can identify so much with all the readings and all the paragraphs. And I'm just so grateful for the vision for you. I mean, I remember going to meetings, to Big Book meetings, you know, before, but it was like maybe once a week, once. It was not enough. I mean, I love the vision for you. It's every single day. And I love it. It's paragraph by paragraph. And I love all the shares. I love everything about it. But anyways, it says, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut against which a theory. I grew up in a very religious home. And I also grew up in a communist country. So there was a lot of confusion. You know, my father did service for the church, you know. He was a minister. And there was just so much rigidity. There was so much religion there. And I remember feeling so overwhelmed. And I also grew up, like, with fearful punishing God. So I didn't trust. I did pray to God every once in a while. But it was like, I'll be making a bargain. I'll be bargaining with God. Well, God, if you do this, then I'll do that for you, whatever, you know. A lot of mixed feelings about God. And I think I transferred that into God, the way I lived in my home. We were supposed to be perfect children. We were to be a power of example out there in the world. And I struggled with a lot of fears and trying to protect myself from out there in the world. But anyways, a lot of confusion. I was so grateful to find out that I could surrender to a power, to a higher power greater than myself. And this was a spiritual program, not a religious program. Because at one time I thought, you know, all these people are going to try to suck me in their religion. I was afraid. And a lot of confusion. But I'm just so grateful. I've been in this program for many, many years in OA. And, of course, practicing the 12 steps and you know, doing the food addiction. It's such a gift. And I'm just so grateful I can pass it on to others. Like, it was so given to me freely. And I don't have a fear of God today. I have a higher power. I have found a higher power that loves me. Thank you. That loves me unconditionally. And I'm so grateful for that. And I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Before OVK shares, let me let you know where we're at. If you jumped on a little later. We're in Bill's story, page 10, fourth paragraph, starting with ministers in the world's religions. Ending with, my mind snapped against such a theory. All right, Olivia, you're up.
Good morning, everyone. This is Olivia. I'm a compulsive eater. So good to be here this morning on Friday. Thank you, Russ, for your service. I am on a work trip today, and I have been this week and do a bit of entertaining one-on-one with people, and I just wanted to report staying abstinent during this trip. And this paragraph means a lot to me because I had a bit of a similar experience with God. I was raised with a loving God, thank goodness, and I just didn't understand the relationship part. And I think I removed myself from that possibility and felt less than a lot of times, felt less than. And what I realize is that through working the steps, hearing about vision, you know, working with the sponsor, is that I do have a relationship. I do. And I was cutting myself off from that spirit and from that love by minimizing, I guess, myself, but minimizing God. And what I realized is that, you know, God comes to work, you know, work trips. God comes everywhere with me. And I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, I still have the feeling sometimes that others, and this is totally ego and pride, that others have a better relationship. And here I sound, you know, like a child, but others have a better relationship than me. But when I continue to work the steps and sponsees, I feel that presence now. And so it's not that I have to totally understand or feel it all of the time, but I'm working it. I hope that makes sense. And I just am very, very grateful. I go home today an abstinent person and very grateful to my higher power, to God, for coming with me on this trip and for being with me all day long. Thanks so much. With that, I pass.
All right, Olivia, thank you. Next up is Cheryl L., followed by Lisa C.
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. from Florida, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. I'm glad to be on the line this morning. Very grateful for this reading and for the share so far. When I reflect back on, you know, my history, you know, I can see that they talked of a God personal to me. I looked outside of myself for that God. I looked to places. I looked to people. I looked for that unconditional love that only God can offer. I looked for that strength and direction from people and from, you know, places outside of myself. I had one of those, you know, Winchester Cathedral moments, you know, sitting in a chapel. My parents sent me to a Catholic school for several years. And I remember sitting there in the chapel one day by myself and feeling the presence of God. But that feeling, you know, slipped away so quickly because I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to believe that I was good enough to have that relationship with a God that was going to be, you know, the answer to all of my problems. You know, as my disease progressed, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut. I would hear people talking about, you know, I heard it on the line this morning, their BFF. I'd hear them talking about, you know, God in these glowing terms, and I was irritated because I wasn't there. What I have come to believe is that this is a process. And when I read this paragraph, it reminds me of step two, that this is where I get to write down, I get to contemplate, what do I need my higher power to do for me? What do I need, you know, from God? And what I need is a God who knows me to the core of my being and can give me that intuitive thought as I go through my day to help me to be of maximum usefulness to my fellows and to my higher power. So, you know, I think this is such a process. I do not have that white light experience like Bill had. Mine has been of the educational variety, and I think that's the truth for a lot of us. So patience and persistent practice has been the key. Yesterday I celebrated, I marked, I didn't celebrate with cake and ice cream. I marked 18 months in this program. And I'm just so grateful to everyone who has helped me along this journey. Many of you on the line, even though you don't even know it, have helped me. My sponsor and my sponsees are just so important because they are the example of God, you know, in my life. It's a living, breathing example that I can look to today. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Awesome. Congrats. Next up is Lisa C. followed by Jack W., and then we're going to take another list.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. It's been a journey with God for me, like many of us. And in this paragraph, you know, it's interesting because, you know, in the sentences before this paragraph, right, like, I simply had to believe in a spirit of the universe who knew neither time nor limitation. So there's a, you know, for Bill, there's like this existing belief of a spirit of the universe who knows neither time nor limitation. But in this paragraph where it says, when ministers and world religions speak of a God personal to me, who is love, superhuman strength and direction, then there's irritation and resistance, right? And a shutdown. So it's interesting, you know, because it's, I guess, contradictory. Sorry, Bill. But I'm seeing I contradict myself constantly. But I think what I'm thinking about, though, is just, yeah, I mean, I had all kinds of contradictory views. And, you know, I still do. I uncover them. But I also like, you know, this idea that God being personal. You know, I grew up in an interfaith household, but I had a very interesting, you know, kind of upbringing in terms of like religion and spirituality. I had, you know, both my parents are, they actually met in a program, a 12-step program, and had very different iterations of the spiritual aspect, actually. And I never lived with them together. They actually split before I was born. So it was a very interesting upbringing. And I think that, you know, I had a lot of spiritual experiences, especially as a young child, that terrified me, even when they felt good. And it wasn't until I was, you know, a mother myself that I confessed to a therapist, like, I get messages, you know, like, and I was always afraid to talk about it. And she validated for me that, you know, I was tuned in. And I was like, oh, I'm tuned in. And then I became less afraid of it. And that was years before I came into program. I think what I'm trying to get at, though, is just that, you know, I can't believe in a God that knows neither time nor limitation, but who doesn't want to take the time for me. You know, and I also think that, like, I have to have humility in my relationship with God. That is to say that I think I know God in these glimpses and glimmers and beautiful experiences that I have in prayer and meditation and in connecting with fellow humans and in appreciating the wonders of this earthly experience. My goodness, it can be so beautiful. And I'm going to set aside the part that's horrifying and traumatic too. But I think I know very little, actually, of the goodness, the greatness, the enormity of this higher power. And I like to keep that in perspective sometimes, you know, remembering that I know only a little. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. Next up is Jack W., then we'll take another list.
Good morning. Thanks, Ross. You're doing a great job. I'm Jack W. I live in Florida, and I am a compulsive overeater. You know, I was just, a lot of things were going through my mind. The first lady that did the opening reading and share talked about what she saw was resistance and ego here. And then it reads, I became irritated and my mind snapped shut, you know, and I got to thinking, I've always been, I remember from toddler, I was irritated. I was uncomfortable, full of fear, and I didn't talk about it. I didn't, I just didn't know my dysfunctional family. There wasn't a lot of communication, so I was doing all kinds of stuff to feel better. You know, I was the class clown. I was comment on you badly to make myself feel better, you know, be the, yeah, like the comedian. So what I'm getting at here is, But all that stuff, I was focusing on what I was feeling. So my mind was shut, for sure. I was just trying to escape life. But here's Bill. He had a thing going for him, handsome rascal, olive skin from the golf course, had a bunch of cash, you know, hospitals, institutions, pee on himself, throw up on himself, in and out. For years, probably moonshine, whiskey, gin, and talk about mind being shut. So, you know, he just did not have the ability to not start again after he stopped. You know, and I can so relate that with food. You put it down for a while, and then that phenomenon of craving always wins. And, the God part, you know, I remember myself, I went to church to try to get help, sit on the bench there with the congregation and just sweat like the Dickens. I would be detoxing in church, and I was just closed-minded because I was focusing on what everybody else was thinking about my behavior. And but, you know, I'm so glad I found a connection to the God that I believe in, and he gave me recovery. And so now I'm working on that, getting more light, you know, that spiritual awakening is like a sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. For me, it's slow. It's that dimmer switch, sorry, making the light brighter. Thanks, Ross. So I want the light to be brighter so I can change my ideas, emotions, and attitudes. Thank you.
All right, Jack, thanks a lot. Now we're going to open up the lines again for Sharon. If you shared on the past couple of days, please step back, allow others to share. And who would like to share in this paragraph?
Christina
J. from Christina J., North Carolina.
I got Riska.
Jen A.
Hold on. Christina. Christina J. I know, I heard. Who was that?
Christina J. Russ.
Yeah, I got you. I got Riska, Christina. There was someone before
A.
I did hear. One more time. I'm sorry.
Terry A. Terry,
A. Got it. Terry A.
Thank you.
Lynn A.
Lynn.
Jen A.
I got Jen. There's one more. I think we can get one more.
Susan.
Okay, got it. Susan. Got Susan S.H.? All right. We got Riska,
yes.
Christina J., Terry A., Jen A., Lynn S., Susan S.H. You know I'm not great with counting, so hopefully we can get everybody in. All right, Riska, you're up.
Okay, thanks so much, Russ. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. This is Riska R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore. I just love this. God, personal to me, who is love, superhuman strength, and direction. Like, that's a whole new way of relating to God for me. I did, when I was 21, I did come back to my religion of origin, but it did nothing for my food addiction. And my relationship with God was more like, well, thank you for all the blessings. When are you going to take them away? Because, of course, you know, I wasn't good enough to have blessings. But I just love that Bill reveals such truth. Like, I had such an epiphany this morning. I, you know, reading these words and then reading, you know, the words in my formal prayers, I mean, it was like astounding. It says, my God and God of my fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, great and mighty, awesome God. I said, oh my God, this is exactly this. Personal, like it could have just said God. It didn't have to say my God and God of Abraham and God of Isaac and God of Jacob. There's a lot of extra words there. But I realized that, wow, this is amazing. It's like it's all personal. You know, Abraham had a God that was personal to him. Isaac had a God that was personal to him. Jacob had a God that was personal to him. And I have a God that's personal to me. And that's exactly the way it's all set up to be, that we need this personal relationship with our Creator. And it's exactly, I know, I just was so blown away by that. I just wanted to share that. I love that, someone said this morning about choosing to surrender and choosing to be free. Like, oh my, that's what my God wants. He wants me to be free, to be able to be happy, to serve Him. And I'm in the grips of that, horrific food addiction, which is just, grabbed me and throwing me around. Like, that's not where I need to be today. And I'm very grateful to have this personal relationship where God is love and God is power and God is direction, where I can trust. Trust is direction is such a new thing for me. But I love it, and it's wonderful. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
All right, Rivka. Next up is Christina J., followed by Terry A.
Morning, Russ. Morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. Oh, wow. What a setup. What a setup he's going through. He's drinking, and he's reflecting on all the ways he used to think and his grandfather thought. I mean, this is just a beautiful setup. God has gotten him ready for the big bang. And for me, my whole life has been spent getting ready for the big bang, because God knows when I was ready. God knows when to bring the Ebby. He says, come on, Ebby, we got to fish on. And he takes Ebby and he leads him to Bill. And Bill comes in and it starts. And Ebby's drinking and he's like, he surrendered to drinking. Everything's on the altar there. This is the stuff that makes him feel better and makes him feel horrible. But it's his only choice at this point, until Ebby starts presenting this God idea and he's like, oh, yeah, whatever. Right? I got two doors. I got the me door, and I got the God door, or the higher power door, or the love door. The love door. Can we accept love? Love is everywhere. Love is everywhere. Can we allow ourselves to surrender into love? My mind never snapped shut against any kind of theory about God, and it certainly never snapped shut against any theory about love. And when this program came along and it said the God thing, I was like, okay, I got this, but I didn't have it. It was outside of me like a bodyguard, because God has brought me right where I am right now, my entire life with all experiences, all the things that maybe some people would call sin, their experiences, their learning. I was ignorant. I was dumb. I could forgive myself for all that. Very painful to think about. But God brought me right to where I was ready. I was using the food for all the discomfort of doing those things that no longer work for me. Reaching outside of myself for satisfaction, for distracting myself from the pain inside, not knowing how to live life or deal with life. We're all set up. I was set up, and it wasn't a bad thing. It was a damn good thing, because in the end, I got one door to choose, really, because me doesn't work. Me doesn't work. God works. Higher power works. Love works. And this is where Bill is going to be getting to shortly in a few paragraphs. He's going to have a spiritual experience that's going to rivet him to that place deep inside his heart where that love explodes. And he never has to go back. And we don't either. We don't either. So it's a beautiful setup. In our whole lives, I'll speak for myself. My whole life has been this beautiful setup for where I am now as a human being.
Time.
Thank you, guys. Love you all, and I pass.
Thanks, Christina. Next up is Terry A., followed by Jen A.
Hello. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Great. Hi, this is Terry A. from Phoenix, Arizona, recovered compulsive overeater, but not cured, but recovered by God's grace and mercy for today. My mind snapped shut. Thanks be to God, that did not happen to me. I have had a faith tradition for decades, and I love it. I have not practiced it perfectly, not at all. I have failed a lot, and I continue to fail. But it has made the most sense to me, and I absolutely love my faith tradition. And my faith tradition has a bigger book, and I've spent hours reading that bigger book, praying with it, studying it. But I did not practice it perfectly. In fact, I didn't know how. But I kept seeking God and seeking him in my faith tradition and wanting more and more of him the more I learned. But my faith tradition and my bigger book did not arrest my compulsive eating. In fact, I would read in that bigger book that I was to be patient and kind. Oh, my goodness. I was not patient. I was not kind. How on earth was I supposed to do that? I was full of anger, resentment, fear, almost since the day I was born, given the things that had happened to me. I was never patient and kind, and I didn't know how to get there. But now, I am so joyfully grateful because I have come to know that, yes, my bigger book tells me what God wants me to do, to be like, how to be in relations, how to live, how to seek him. And my AA big book tells me how. And for that, I am so incredibly grateful. I feel like this is, you know, I'm grateful for my program. I'm grateful for even compulsive overeating. As the book says, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. I don't. If anything will lead me closer to God and help me to live what I believe and help me to grow closer to him and be in right relationships, not only with him, but with people around me, and to be loving and kind and serving of others, and to give me an outlet for these things that I have, like fears and angers through steps 10 and the 4 through 10 and living in 11 and 12. My goodness, I'm grateful. So grateful that I have a bigger book that tells me what God wants, and so grateful to have this book and all of you that helped me to know how to get there. So with that, I pass. I hope you have a great day, everyone.
Thanks, Terry. Next up is Jen A., followed by Lynn S.
Hey, good morning, Ross. Thanks so much. Good to hear you this morning, buddy. My name is Jen A. I am a recovered compulsive overeater here in Colorado, and just so grateful for God's great and mercy on my life today. It's interesting that we're talking about God personal to me. All my life, God was a different conception. You know, I will say as a kid, I was scared to death of God. I had these commandments that my parents told me I needed to follow. And it was like the fear of God was put in me. And if you didn't do this and you didn't do that, you're going to hell in a handbasket. And then my conceptions changed as I got older. And I started looking at a God personal to me, you know, in my 20s and my 30s. And that God served me really well during that time. And I always prayed to that God. You know, I did, you know, the pocket prayers and the foxhole prayers and the prayers over the American Standard toilet, like, help me, God, help me, God, help me, God, as I'm throwing up and I'm deep in my disease. And I even asked for prayers like genie in a bottle prayers, give me this, give me that. And that was God for me for a long time. And I read every book of the Bible, and I served in women's ministry, and I was in the church and inundated and singing songs and worshiping a God. But he wasn't personal to me in the way that he is today. And I haven't found that new God until I came into the program of Overeaters Anonymous. And who would have thought, right? Like, here I am in Overeaters Anonymous, and you walk in and there's this big window shade on the wall, and it has all these things on it, and it kind of looked like the Ten Commandments. It reminded me of it, and it had 12 steps and 12 traditions, and there's prayers on the walls in this room. And I thought, now what have I bought into? You know, and I thought, I don't know, but I'm just going to try it, because I was desperate and I needed something different. And I saw God in there, and I just kept writing HP, HP, HP for the longest time in my journal. You know, and I love step two, how it says power greater than myself was going to restore me to sanity. I'm still coming to believe. I think it's beautiful the way this program works and how God just kind of He's been there the whole time. He's just seeping into my soul in a different way. And today, I love it because I get to choose my own conception in this program, whereas before it was like, this is what you're going to believe, this is how you're going to do it, and no. There's a few suggested steps and things like that, but there's no hardcore rules. And I was the kind of girl that I rebelled. I was rebellious. So this works for me. It really does. I love it because I need something personal. I need something that's close to me. And I will just say that in the last 4 years of working a solid program to the best of my ability and really just leaning into God, working these steps, living out the steps, I'll finish up with this because I think my time's almost up, but I find God as like the Lord of my life, you know, and I say, you know, I love you, God. And it's different for me, but I'm so grateful that that conception has changed over time and there have been no rules. So thanks for letting me share this morning, Russ. Have an awesome weekend. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Jen. So we got four left. Lynn, if you could take two. Susan Asaisha, if you could take two, that would hook everything up and we would have a great meeting. I think you could do that, right?
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, Vision. Lynn S., recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I had no religious upbringing when I was a kid, but I certainly was able to mock people who did believe in religion. And I can remember when my mind snapped shut is when my friend Sheila died. She suffered from cancer for a year. She was 21. And then she died. And I thought, there cannot be a God for her to suffer like that and then die. So then my mind snapped shut. But you know, that wasn't just against God. My mind snapped shut over everything. Over everything, over people trying to help me, over me not fitting in with a group, so you are all dead to me. That was how I functioned in life, which was so awful, but it was all black and white thinking. My mind snapped shut all over the place because this disease, its whole purpose was to isolate me from God, from you, from the world, from living a life. Thank you, God, that program, you know, I don't know how they say it, but program or God brought me to OA and OA brought me to God. I don't know which way it went to me. It's God sent out a search and rescue mission for me so many times, and I finally hooked in and has given me a life that not only had an open mind, but he's opened my heart, and all those mind snap shuts are now open. And my heart is opening, and things, the relationship I have with God now and with people and with life is the most miraculous thing. And I hope that's 2 minutes, and I'm out of here. Bye.
Thanks, Lynn. You're awesome. All right. Next up is Susan S.H., and we'll have two minutes there.
Okay. Thank you. My mind snapshot really always speaks to me. When we read it, it speaks to me every time. I had done my searching for a higher power, and I got it, I don't got it. And nothing seemed to help me with what I thought was my biggest problem, my compulsive eating. I didn't know it was just a symptom. But for the first year and a half, I went to meetings, and I heard my story, and I was moved that these people understand. But when we would talk about higher power or God, my mind snapped shut for that first year and a half. Any mention of God, any mention of higher power, this part is not for me. This is just not for me. There's got to be a way to do this without this. And I asked someone, well, what am I supposed to do? I believe I'm agnostic. I don't think I can do this. And a friend in program, older friend, said, choose your own conception of a God. Make a laundry list, which sounded silly. But what came to me is what I heard in all my searching, unconditional love. So finally, in desperation, I had to surrender. And I kept that with me, that unconditional love. And I surrender to the directions in the book. I had a sponsor to help me, and I believed what had helped her, and I did the step-by-step directions in our textbook as written, and I got what it said. I can't stress enough how grateful I am that we have directions in our textbook in the 12 steps, and they are for me, and I don't have to snapshot at other people's conception of God anymore. I'm okay. The unconditional love I searched for was always there, and I must always turn back to it. And with that, I will pass.
All right. Thanks, Susan S.H. Appreciate your last share. We thank everybody who shared today. What a great meeting. And please join us for the second unrecorded hour study immediately following closing. And today's share ID. Well, let me go back. Yesterday's share ID real quick. The 7 a.m. meeting was 21,245. 21245. So that's Thursday, the 21st March. Now today's share ID, Friday, March 22nd, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21248. 21248. And I've asked Susan S.H. to read. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
And I'm here. And I didn't introduce myself before. I'm Susan S.H. in St. Mary's, Ohio, a recovered compulsive overeater and grateful. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.